we are pressed, not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned. Shut down the night destroy. We are blessed beyond the curse, for his broad still in door. His joy is gonna be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for a night, joy comes in the morning. I'm trading my sorrow. Say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I am pressed with my crush, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. I am blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure. Begin just to lift up the name of the Lord right now. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for everything you're going to do in this place this morning. God, even as we're out in this open air setting, God, we know that you can move with your Holy Spirit right where we're at. And God, we pray that right now it just be a testimony to everything you're doing in our lives, Father, even throughout this community, God, that people would see everything you're doing through the lives of those at First Assembly. We thank you and we give you praise for everything you're going to do, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I worship you, mighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise. and search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. You are exalted far above distraction, take away things that would turn our minds right now, and just let our hearts be solely fixed on you. We give you all the thanks, Sonic, Lord, for everything you're going to do. And everyone said, you may be seated. Matthew chapter 14. And I'll be there in just a second. How many of you remember the movie City Slickers? How many of you remember seeing that when it came out? Funny movie, right? The whole point of the story is, you know, you got these guys who are looking to get away from the status quo of their life. They're a little sick of who they are and want some change, right? So one of them comes up with a great idea. We're going to go to a dude ranch and rustle this cattle across the country. And, you know, it turns into more than what they thought. But, you know, the whole trip is spurned. It started because they got tired of how things were. How many of you ever get tired of how things are in your life? Raise your hand. I want you to look around. You're not alone. We all at some point in time get a little sick and tired of how things are going. Sometimes it's just the idea of the status quo. Something needs to change. You know, there are times as Christians, we're kind of like city slickers, just to be honest. We're out of our element. Remember last week we talked about being extraterrestrial. What did that mean? Who remembers what it means to be an ET? We live in this world, but are we of this world? Where's our heaven? Where's our home? Heaven, that's where we get our identity from. It's where everything comes from in our lives. When we talk about being city slickers, we have to understand there are times in this world we don't fit in. Even though we're trying, we may even put on the clothes, we may look the part, but we don't fit in. And part of our problem is, as Christians, is we've gotten content with the status quo. We've gotten very content with just how things are. And until you get to the place, you know, Bill Hybels wrote a book a few years ago called Holy Discontent. Until you get to the place where you have a holy discontent, where you say, I'm fed up with the way things are, I need a change. Can I tell you something? Nothing's ever going to change in your life. It'll always be the same. And you've got to take some initiative. You're going to have to leave what's comfortable to get to that place. You're going to have to step out a little bit into the unknown. You're going to have to take a step into places nobody's ever been. You're going to have to take a step where Jesus is in order to get out of the status quo. If you got your Bible, look at Matthew 14. Begin at verse 22. We're going to read through verse 33. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there all alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against. Okay, I want you to get a picture of this. The boat is not just off the shore. Did Jesus do some things after he sent the disciples on their way? The Bible says he dismissed the crowd. How many of you know it takes a little while to get a crowd of thousands out of the way? So the Bible says he dismissed the crowd. Then he went up to the mountaintop a little bit by himself. Now that's kind of an interesting thing. You need to understand that every time Jesus did ministry, he took some time right afterwards to relax. He took some time just to decompress from it. Sometimes, this is a lesson we need to learn today, okay? Listen, Christians, you need to take vacation time. Does everybody understand that? Doesn't mean you need to go somewhere when you don't have the money to go, but it does mean you need to take some time and just take some downtime yourself. Whether that's every day. You understand every day you need a little downtime by yourself? I mean, I've got 3 kids at my house, and there are times I just want some time by myself. I just want to be left alone. Because I realize if I don't, I lose who I am. I lose my identity, and I lose what I can be. But it says here that Jesus took a little time to himself, and we need to learn to do the same thing after ministry. We got to take some downtime. You got to learn to relax. You got to learn how to regroup and to re-energize yourself. That comes through rest, and Jesus did that. The Bible says after he'd done ministry, he went to the mountaintop for a little peace and quiet. The boat was already way off the shore. The Bible says the waves have already started hitting. The wind was already hitting it. The beginning. At verse 25 it says, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. He said, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? And when they climbed in the boat and the wind died down, those who were in the boat worshiped Him, saying, truly, You are the Son of God. Let's pray real quick. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Let it be a lamp to our feet, a light into our path. Father, we pray right now that, Lord, You would calm distractions. You would let our minds be set on You for just a few moments as we learn what it takes to live in this world and be the type of people You want us to be. Those who will change who we were yesterday to become something different today so we can change our tomorrows. And everybody said, amen. The first thing, let me tell you something you got to see in the Scripture. First thing you got to learn is you got to change. The Bible tells us the disciples were in the boat. They're floating across. They're making their way across this water. When the wind hits, the waves start coming, and they see Jesus coming. Now, understand something. There was more than one disciple in that boat. How many of you read that just like I did? It said the disciples were in the boat. All of them were together. The Bible says that when Jesus came and they realized who it was, only one of them asked if he could get out of the boat. Now understand something. There are times in your life when you can stay in your spiritual boat. And nobody's going to think any less of you. Jesus is not going to think any less of you. But let me tell you something. You will never accomplish everything God had set out for your life to accomplish. You're just going to be the status quo. You're just going to be like everyone else. Teenagers, let me tell you this morning. There are times in your life that your friends are going to convince you it's okay to be like everybody else. Let me tell you something. It's never okay to be like everybody else. Never. God did not design you to be just a robot. God did not design you to be a clone of all your friends. He designed you to be the one and only you. Did you know you're the only one who can worship God like you do? There's nobody else that can do that. You're the only one that can fit that void and fill that void. And when you got to get to a place like Peter where you got to want some change in your life or nothing else will be any different. Those other disciples, they got a great story to tell because they could have told the story about how Jesus walked on the water to them. But only one of them got to tell what it felt like to walk on water. The problem is, too many times we get content. We get very complacent with how life is. And the reason why is we look at others and we say, I wish I could experience what their experience is. I wish my marriage was what their marriage is. I wish my family was what their family is. I wish my spiritual life was what theirs is. Let me tell you the reason it's not. A lot of times, it's simply because you had accepted what everybody else has got instead of taking a step out of the boat to see what else could be there. But it starts with desire, doesn't it? Before you'll ever get out of the boat, you got to want to get out of the boat. You got to want something different for your life. And when we talk about getting out of the boat, you've got to not play it safe all the time. How many of you play it safe a lot? Be honest. I love to golf, okay? Those who golf with me know I rarely play it safe. I take chances every chance I get. If it's a par 5, I want to hit the green in 2. If there's a chance to get close to the hole, I want to take that chance. I don't like playing it safe. Because one thing I've learned about in my life, if you play it safe, you'll never get reward. You'll never experience anything better. You've got to take some opportunities. You've got to do things that nobody else is doing. You've got to take risks that nobody else is taking. There are moments, you know, that I wonder when I read this story, what were the other disciples doing while Peter was walking on the water? What were they thinking? They're seeing one of their own doing something that's completely supernatural. And yet, what are they doing? The Bible tells us what they're doing. They're still hunkered down in that boat afraid. They're scared. They don't realize they've had a visitation from Jesus until He gets in the boat. Because the Bible said they didn't worship Him until when? He got in the boat with them. Problem is, a lot of times we accept the status quo because we don't recognize Jesus in things. Can I tell you something? This is not status quo this morning. You're in a park in the middle of our city having church on a Sunday morning. There are churches that do this on Sunday afternoons after church is over. But I have never heard of one do it during church on a Sunday morning. You know why? Because I'm tired of the status quo. I'm tired of just playing it safe. I'm tired of just going through the motions of what church is or what people think you ought to be because you're a disciple of Jesus. I'm a disciple of Jesus. That means I need to take chances. I've got to want to take a chance. I've got to want something more for my life. Let me ask you this question. How many of you say, I want more for my life than what I've got right now? Will you raise your hand? All of you. We're tired of this. But how do we get beyond this point? Brings us to the second thing we have to see here. Desire is what leads to an invitation. What did the Bible say? It says all the disciples saw Jesus, but only one of them asked. You know, a lot of times you don't have things in your life simply because you haven't asked or you haven't asked correctly. If you got your Bible, turn to James. Book of James. I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. James chapter 2. Or James chapter 4, I'm sorry. Says this, it's talking about submitting yourself to God. He said, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle with you? And then verse 2, he says this, you want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You don't have, because why? What? Let's say it together. You do not ask. Why is that important? A lot of times, we don't have the things we want from God simply because we haven't asked. We haven't even asked the right way a lot of times if we have asked. Matter of fact, Luke chapter 11, verse 11 and 13 says this. It says, if your son asked you for a fish, would you give him a snake? If your son asked you for a fish, would you give him a snake? He said, if you being evil, give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? What is he saying in Luke? He says, listen, if you think you're being good and you'll give your kids anything that they ask for and do it in the right way, how much more will God do? If you ask the right way, what will God do in your life? And it comes down to faith. Faith is what opens the door. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, ask and it will be given. Seek and you shall find and do what? Knock and the door will be open for you. All of those things take action, don't they? Would you ask if you didn't believe somebody was going to give you something? I wouldn't. I guess funny sometimes my kids ask me for things and they'll say, Dad, can we do this? And I say, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. And I heard Nathan a few years ago, Hallie asked me something. She said, Daddy, can we do such and such? And I said, we'll see. And Nathan turned around and said, you know what that means? She goes, it means we'll see. He said, no, that means no. That's just an easier way of saying it. God doesn't do that. God gives you the answers. And the Bible tells me that He will give me the desires of my heart, meaning that He will give me my desires, both good and evil. Did you know the Bible tells you He'll turn you over to a reprobate mind if you won't turn from it? You know what that means? He'll give you the desire of what your heart wants. And what we have to understand is that we all have desires. All of us want something. We all want God to move in our lives. But if you want change in some area, desire is what leads to change. It's what gives you the invitation to step out of the boat. Third thing is this I've seen. It says if you're gonna have to take a step after the invitation is given. Okay, I'm going to give you something here, guys. If you take nothing else this morning, you need to hear this. Salvation is an invitation that's always given. Does everybody understand that? It's always there. You don't even have to desire salvation. It's already out there. You have to get it to get it. You have to have a desire to have it to receive it. But it's not something that's given after an invitation. It's already there. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about there? It's sitting out there on a platter. You just have to take it. But to move deeper in Jesus, to move deeper spiritually is different. It's different. If you're going to get more of God, it's not simply because it's always out there. You have to desire it in your life. You've got to want more in your life. You've got to want to step out. And once the invitation is given, understand that invitation sitting out there, come and see what I can. Walk on water, see supernatural things. But you've got to be willing to climb out of the boat to see it happen. It takes more effort. Salvation is just simply the same what? I believe. To walk in the fullness of God takes you getting out of the boat and stepping on the water. Y'all ever watch that show Mythbusters? Anybody besides me watch Mythbusters? I think it's the funniest show. They do crazy things. They had one time where they're trying to prove the walking on water. Could they walk on water? And they had these floats and they tried everything. They couldn't make it happen no matter what. And one told him the other. He said, it's impossible. And when he said that, I said, yeah, it's impossible in your ways. But my God, all things are possible. But you've got to be willing to step out of the boat to see it happen. You're never going to walk on water until you get out of the boat. Does everybody understand that? It's the same way with God. If you're ever going to step into deeper things with God, you have got to step out of the boat. See, this morning you may be saying, I'm not content with who I am. I'm not happy with where I'm at. And you've got to understand, there is one thing. Y'all remember City Slickers, right? What did Carly say? Life all comes down to one thing. And he never had a chance to tell them what the one thing was. He dies before, you know, he has a chance of finishing the whole deal. I want you to know something. Your spiritual life comes down to one thing, and I'll tell you what it is this morning. It's faith. If you're ever going to live a spiritual life to the fullest, it comes down to faith. It's believing that there is a God who will make the water as hard as a rock. There is a God who will catch you when you feel like you're falling. There is a God who will go far and above everything you've ever experienced. Faith is what makes things that seem impossible possible with God. And the last thing is this. There's always going to be a reason for you to stop. There will always be a reason to stop. Listen to me, guys, because some of you need to hear this. If you're always looking for somebody to hurt your feelings, you'll find it. If you're always looking for something to go wrong, it will go wrong. Because there will always be a reason to stop. I promise you, I can talk to businessmen who work and go to this church, and they will tell you, there's always a reason not to go forward. There's always a reason not to do something. James probably can tell you, many times he's climbed a pole, there's been a reason not to go up that pole. I could come up with a couple. Number one, it's too high. That's a good reason not to go up the pole. There's power lines hooked to the same pole. That's a pretty good reason not to go up the pole. I could fall. That's a good reason not to go up the pole. But you understand, if I made up an excuse every time not to go up that thing, I will never accomplish what I was set out to do. And can I tell you something? If James didn't go up that pole, eventually he wouldn't have a job. Because his job is to not look for the reason not to do something, but how can it be done? The problem is this, guys. Let me say this, just closing things up this morning, is this. A lot of times, you're not doing things spiritually because you're always looking for the reason not to do it. What happened with Peter? Think about the story, okay? Peter is already walking on water. Everybody say that with me. Already walking on water. Say it again. He is already walking on water. What does he notice after he's walking on water? The wind and the waves, and that he is on the wind and the waves. He's already experiencing the miracle. He's in the midst of it when he finds a reason not to do it. And the Bible says he begins shaking. Basically, his faith gets shaken. He starts to sink, is what the Bible says. He sinks after he's walked on water. Now, I want you to know something. When you step out of the boat, and after you're walking on the water, there'll be a reason for you to stop. I can explain to you myself in my life, in my spiritual life, there are many times that there have been reasons for me not to go forward. Somebody hurt me. Somebody didn't take it the way I thought they would take it. Somebody didn't accept something the way I thought they should accept it. Church is not growing the way I thought it should grow. This is not happening. That's not happening. There will always be a reason not to walk on water, but God didn't call you to stay in the boat. If you've got a desire to be more, you've got to be willing to step out to be more. You've got to make that step to be more. My question is this. How many times have you allowed just the fear to stop you more than anything tangible to stop you? See, I believe some of you have been called into the ministry. You've told youth pastors that over the years. You've told children's pastors. You've told pastors about how God's called you. Let me tell you, the reason why you're not walking, it has nothing to do with what you think. It has to do with the fact that you're afraid of whatever the wind and waves will do to you. Don't believe me? Can I give you a couple wind and waves? Pastor, you don't understand. I'm too busy. Pastor, you don't understand. I've got this going on. Financially, I can't afford to do it. I want to be honest with you. This is not a money-making career, okay? Am I telling the truth, Jennifer? You're not going to get rich. Not on this earth. And if you do, you're probably doing something wrong. But what God asked me to do was step out into the unknown. Let me take care of you walking on solid ground. I've never wanted for anything in my life. I mean, there's things I want. But God keeps me supplied. And sometimes we allow just the fear to keep us from stepping out. What if I step out, Pastor, and God's not there? Well, you need to know for sure that it was God that called you out of the boat to begin with. We talked about it on Wednesday night in our lesson. You know, that sometimes the reason why you don't defeat the enemy has nothing to do with you. It's who you listen to. It's who told you you could beat the enemy. It's what told you you could get to somewhere. You got to know who sent you. I know who sent me to Hernando. I know who sent you to Hernando. And he's called you to step out of the boat a little bit. Get in some unfamiliar surroundings and do something different. Amen? Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes. No one's looking around. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you would say, and you're out of your comfort zone this morning, you're out of your element, and you would just say, Pastor, I know God has more for my life than what I'm doing right now. How many would just lift your hand and say that? See your hands, see your hands, see your hands, see your hands. My question would be this for you. Why aren't you walking? Why haven't you experienced that miracle yet? You have to want it. And sometimes that's the key, guys. We don't really want it. We say we do, but we're afraid of what it may bring. But I want you to know something. If God has called you, and you know you're supposed to be doing more than what you're doing now, He will supply the solid ground for you to walk on. He will supply that place for you to be secure. No one's looking around. You say, Pastor, I want God to give you that secure place starting today. Very quickly, slip your hand up. And right back down. You need to see your hands, 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 see your hands. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask God to put your feet on solid ground this morning. Everyone's standing. It'll help you be a little bit cooler, trust me. I want you to join hands. Right now. Does everyone join in hands? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for one another. Someone said, well, this is not an altar call. This is the altar call. Because you need to begin praying for other people to put your feet, put their feet on a solid ground. And what will happen is God will begin putting your feet on more solid foundation. Let's begin praying for people on our right and left right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we had this opportunity to be in this park this morning. And Father, we pray right now that as you put our feet on solid ground, God, that we would experience the greatness of all you are, God, that you would solidify us and put us in the place that we need to be. Our God, I pray right now as we lift each other up, Lord, that you would begin helping us step out into places we've never stepped out before. God, there are those who will be going to college this fall. God, let them be able to step out like they've never stepped out before in you, God. Lord, experience the greatness of who you are. Those in their workplace and in their home life, God, will you help them step out in ways they've never stepped out before? It's not enough to want it. It's not enough to even ask for it. We have to be willing to step out and then ignore everything that would step in our way, anything that would stand in our way of the impossible being accomplished. And Father, we praise you this morning because we know it's First Assembly. We're stepping out in some areas that's never been done before. We're stepping out in grounds we've never stepped out on before. But we know that you're doing great and awesome things. Now, Father, we ask all these things in your precious name and your Holy Spirit's anointing. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. And then while your hands are...